Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. We're talking about manifestation versus action. And for those of you who are thoroughly aware of these topics, that might seem like a weird way to say it. Manifestation versus action. Like, those two aren't separate. But this is one of the common misunderstandings, misnomers that happens. I think a lot when people talk about, they hear these extremes and we get this idea that it's one or the other, that they're somehow opposed to each other or they don't include each other. And I want to talk first about, let's give an example of what those extremes look like. And then let's see if we can recognize where we might fall regularly on that spectrum. So extreme action, like the opposite end over here, looks like we are in constant doing, or when we want something or we want to do something or make something or create something or build something, we jump right into, these are the action steps I need to do that. I want to build a new business. Here's the action steps. I want to learn how to play an instrument. Here's the action steps. I want to meet a love partner. Here's my action steps. We dive into the action. And there's nothing inherently wrong with this. It's just that a vast portion of that action is wasted. So I'll come back to explaining what I mean by why that's wasted energy. Don't get discouraged, because there's great benefit in it. There is great benefit in all of it. So don't get discouraged and click away. Okay, then we have the extreme version of what, this is the perception that people get sometimes about what they think manifestation is, or sometimes even the way that they perceive the directions or steps around it, what they hear. And that is, I'm just going to sit here and let it flow to me. Which, again, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. There isn't. So there's this perception that people have sometimes. This is one of the reasons why they poo-poo manifestation, because they think you just sit around and just wait for $1 million to fall in your lap. And it's a pretty lovely thing, right? Like, very enjoyable. And the truth is that allowing, or maybe you would say surrendering, is one of the really important key parts to manifestation. It's one of the parts that we suck at. It's looking for a gentle way to say that. But we do, oftentimes. However, unless you are already an expert at fully connecting to and receiving from the universe, is the way I say it. Put your own language in there. But you know that you have no blocks in the way of this. You have no limiting beliefs in the way of this. You're just a clear, wide open. Then yes, sit back and receive. Let it flow to you. For the vast majority of us, the vast majority of the time, we are not fully, clearly wide open. There are things that are kind of monkey wrenches in that. And so there's action that needs to be taken right there, which is probably do something to ease that. stuff that's in the way. Let me explain what I mean when I say, so we now you're getting a little idea of this, okay? Getting a little idea of these two. Let me give you one more example maybe, and then I want you to see maybe where you're at on this spectrum. So extreme over here in the manifestation perception, the way people think about it, is like, well, I'll just go for a walk and think about the things I desire, which there's great benefit in. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just making fun of the stereotype. I'll just sit in my garden and wait for whatever to land in my lap, the new job or the thing. This is the perception people have, right? And then there's the perception of the Uber doers, which is like, I'm just going to make it happen at all costs. I'm going to stomp my way across whatever it is to conquer, to build, to create, to da 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 da. Here's all the steps. And as soon as I know I want a thing, I jump on it and I create a spreadsheet and then I have a system and I do all the things. And if it's not working, I just work harder. I just put in more effort, more action, more doing. And here's the truth of those two things, right? If we were to pan back and look at this from an energetic standpoint, this is what this looks like a lot. I think I've given you all the example before where your higher self will clue you in. An example is like, we're going to write a book and it's going to be really good. People are going to love it. And this comes to you, and maybe it comes to you in meditation. It's clear communication because you learn to talk to your higher self and master your magic or something. Or more likely, let's say it comes in a dream or just this knowingness all of a sudden, or just this intuitive feeling. You just all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to write a book. Then as humans, we love our actions so much. We run off half-cocked. A, we make a bunch of assumptions about this. There's a clear message. Maybe it was words. Maybe it was a feeling. Whatever it was a clear message when it started. We're going to do this. Then you put a bunch of assumptions in there. Like, we're doing it now. It's going to be a bestseller. I'm the one who has to write it. It's going to be about this. Right? Immediately, if you heard that you were going to write a book, you'd probably guess what you think it's going to be about based on whatever's happening in your life right now. Oh, it's probably because I overcame that thing. Or it's probably because we have this idea of what we think the like important and worthwhile things in our lives are. What would I write it about? It's an autobiography. It's a blah, 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 blah. But your higher self never said any of those things. No. Your higher self never said not a damn word about any of that. Your higher self said, we're going to write a book and it's going to be good. That's it. That's it. That's all they said. They didn't say what it's about. They didn't say you're going to write it by yourself. They didn't say when. This might be a book you're going to write when you're 75 about something that hasn't even flipping happened to you yet. They're just giving you a little foreshadow. And I love to playfully imagine our higher selves sitting back and being like, this is why I never tell you anything, which they don't do, by the way. They don't ever say that. That's just, I like to faithfully imagine it. Because we run off half-cocked. So what are the steps to writing a book? You could tell me that off the top of your head, right? Okay, well, I think I should start putting out 3 hours a day to just writing. So I'm going to stop doing all these other things and I'm going to focus on this. And now you're stressing yourself out because who fucking has 3 extra hours in a day? And you got your family and you got your things and now you're being pulled in a bunch of directions and you're so stressed out and now you feel like you're failing because you have this deep inner knowing that you're supposed to write this book. Oh, and I just can't seem to get done right and I'm just not sure. But then, okay, I get something written and now I've got to find an editor and I've got to find a publicist or something. I've got to get a publishing company. I have to do all these things. I have to market it. Oh, in order to be a success, I probably need to have like a huge audience of people who are going to buy this book. So you have already in your head, you've run off with this huge list of things. Your higher self might be sitting back going, oh, they're so cute. humans and their actioning. Love them so much. This is good. This will keep them busy for quite a while. Do you ever hear parents say that about small children? Yeah, this will keep them busy for a while. So there's great benefit in our hamster wheel spinning of action. Because what's going to happen with all those things that you're now trying to do? At some point, you will probably pick up on that inner clue from your higher self that's like, this is going to happen later, not now. So, but you might be like way down the road of having written for 6 months on this book. I'm sure it was a cathartic experience and all these good things came out of it. And the truth is, but like way down the road when you're actually ready to write this book, when you're 70, you're probably going to scrap all that anyway. So if that's truly as our goal was to get the book done, then we would call that wasted action, right? Your higher self will never call it wasted action because, of course, your higher self is guiding you all along this path and so proud and so celebratory. And at a certain point is going to say, the book's not for now. The book's not for now. The book's not for now. 478 billion times until you finally catch on. This really isn't working. I've tried everything. I wonder if maybe I'm supposed to do this later. This is us, okay? And the whole time your higher self is like, this is the best. They're so smart. They're amazing. Look at all the progress that they're making in the human. Because your higher self knows you came here not because you were supposed to like write a book. You came here to fucking have a human experience. You came here to have all the feels and all the things and feel the sun on your skin and breathe and smell jasmine flowers and make love and eat cake and cry because you got your heart broken and bust up your knee one day. Like, whatever. The humaning. So your higher self is all excited about all the humaning you're doing. Look at all the humaning they did in trying to write this book. It was adorable. Oh my gosh. They're the cutest. Humans are the cutest. We love them so much. I'm exaggerating this slightly. They're not actually condescending. But it makes for a better story when I say it that way. So that's what this extreme actioning looks like, right? Now, maybe over on the other end of it is the people who would sort of rather hang out in the, you might say, like, the spiritual realms or the not so much in the humaning experience. They'd rather sit all day in meditation or fantasy or whatever it is. Sometimes that's the archetype caricature person who wants to hang out over on the other end of the spectrum, where they're like, if I just sit and meditate long enough, this will happen. And it may. You might get this book written in your crazy overactioning. You might. And you might attract someone who walks into your life and says, I'd like to write a book about you. I'm going to ghostwrite it. And you're sitting in your garden and you're like, I thought you'd come. I was meditating. However, there will be probably times when you prick your finger on a rose thorn and then you bleed and then it gets infected. Now you've got to deal with like gangrene or something because humaning. And in order to actually sit and just allow things to flow to us, usually we've got some major blocks to get out of the way, which might be why your higher self was really like, we're going to write this book, but not till we're 70, because you've got a lot of learning to do. Again, they don't use that condescending voice. I'm exaggerating. So those are the extremes. And I want to know, which one do you have a tendency to err towards? No self-judgment here. No self-judgment. I personally err way towards the action side. I have many to-do lists. I was going to lift one up for you, but the computer's sitting on it. Many to-do lists and many things. And my brain understands plans and steps and things. So as soon as we have an idea, oh, I know, we're going to build a new X, Y, or Z in my business, or we're going to make this thing happen. My brain's like, it's like a dog with a bone. It's so excited and it wants to make all the plans, and all the things and all the stuff. And that's fine and handy. And I have to rein it back in a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, so that I don't just spin my wheels. It's like revving an engine of a car when it's up on blocks and, but actually like trying to go somewhere. It's burning a lot of gas. So I'm curious, where do you fall on this? This is my first question to you. Now, neither of these are the most beneficial. So what is, what's at that midway point? What's in that center area? What is the action that we do want to take that's not a waste? And then how do we find that balance? So here's where I want to talk about inspired action. Inspired action is when you are in alignment. And alignment means you and your higher self on the same page. Okay? Everyone is in alignment sometimes. Everyone is out of alignment sometimes. Yes, it's something you can get better at. No, it's not something you're going to find 100% of the time. Because humaning includes misalignment. So don't get so caught up in like, well, then I'll just practice being in alignment 100% of the time. You're not going to get there. You came here a human. And humaning means that sometimes we get out of whack. Just most of us are doing it way more often than we really need to, the out of whack part. So when you're in alignment and you take the action that is inspired from that place, it is the most beneficial action you could ever take. So let me see if I can give you some examples. Sometimes, because I am a person who leans to the action side, it means I also have the shadow of overwhelm. Go, 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 go. Ah, it's too much. So when there's something really big happening in my life or my business, and I really butt up against that overwhelm thing, then I say, ah, I must be in my misaligned action here. And I don't want to keep spinning my wheels. This overwhelm isn't fun. Sometimes running on the hamster wheel is fucking fun. Even if it's not action that's going to go anywhere, like writing that book might be really fun. But when it starts to get not fun, when it starts to be totally overwhelming and now you're beating yourself up because you've been neglecting your kids and your work and you're trying to write this book and the book's not even flowing, you don't even like what you've written and you're just forcing yourself to do it and you hate it. That would be a really good time to back it up a bit and look for where is the inspired action piece. So what I will do is take my to-do list and go somewhere that feels special and sacred to me, which is usually nature. I'll go sit next to a river or the ocean or something, because I need to take myself out of my environment for a minute. I need to get away from my desk and the things. I bring a piece of paper, or maybe I don't, and I sit and I just be. I go all the way to the other end of that spectrum. Sometimes I meditate. Sometimes I just sit and listen to the sound of the water or the breeze or whatever it is. I take myself all the way out of action to the complete inaction. I be in the vibration of nature, that energy. You might not say it in such a hippy-dippy way that I say it, but you know what it's like. Nature feels good to be in for most of us. For you, maybe it's going for a run. Maybe it's going fishing, whatever it is. And I sit and I just feel the feeling of nature healing me as I gradually come back to that place of alignment after I've been all in overwhelm. And then once I find my way back to that place where I'm feeling peace and connection and joy. And the simplest thing, like watching a little leaf trail its way down the river, is just reminding me of what's actually important in this world. And the pressure is gone and the overwhelm is gone. Then sometimes I will say to my higher self, what do I actually need to do? What do I actually need to do? Here's what I want. I want to, this happens when I'm launching something new in my business. I want to get this new program successfully out into the world. I want to, whatever it is you're doing or building or creating or desiring, right? Maybe it's finding a partner and you felt like you had to get on 42 different apps to meet people and go on 250 first dates, even though you don't like those, and you do all these things. And then you got totally overwhelmed by it and it wasn't fun. So I asked myself, what's the thing I need to do? And it's usually like one thing. Maybe sometimes two, usually one. Sometimes it's not even any of the things that were on my list. Sometimes my higher self will say, pick up the phone and call that friend you haven't talked to in a while. Sometimes my higher self will say, stop asking questions and just lay next to the river. Yes, ma'am. Sometimes she will say, skip that, skip that. She'll literally go down my to-do list. Skip that, skip, skip. Do that later. Maybe if you're bored later and it feels like fun, do this one and that one right there. That's the only thing we want you to do. So I come back to this place of inspired action. We will receive that nugget, that piece, that the linchpin that will set this whole thing in motion, right? It's the one thing I need to do right now. How do you get into inspired action? How do you find it? How do you know which one is the inspired action? And it can be tricky. I give you that. If you have taken Master Your Magic with me, then just have a conversation with your higher self. It's very simple. If you've learned how to do this and you're good at it because you've studied it, great. That's going to always be your most clear way if you've studied this stuff. If you haven't, don't worry. There are a few other ways. One is to feel for inspiration. That's why I call it inspired action, right? To feel for the inspiration. So, okay, I'm going to sit here with this big list. Maybe you just brainstorm out all the things that you think might be good or you might want to do or blah, 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 blah. And then you just breathe and you say, what feels inspired? Now you're going to get a way, way, way clearer read on this. If you're in a good feeling place when you ask this question, a lot of the times we aren't because we don't sit down to try this until we've had a lot of angst and butted our heads up against the wall enough times that we're like, damn it, I guess I'll try it that way. Kara said on the podcast, this is uncomfortable. So if you can get yourself into a good feeling place, maybe after the head banging on the wall and it's not working, then you stop. And you breathe for a little bit, or you eat a muffin while you sit outside and look at the sun, or you take a bath, or you go to the gym and punch a punching bag for a while, whatever it is. Something that's going to bring you back to a place of when you know you're feeling good, you're probably in alignment. In fact, there's a whole book that Abraham wrote about it called The Astonishing Power of Your Emotions, I believe, that really explains this concept. Like, when you're feeling good, you're in alignment. You and your higher self are on the same page. When you're not feeling good, you're out of alignment. You and your higher self are on a different page. It's not the end of the world. It happens to all of us. It's just that don't believe your inner thoughts when you're out of alignment, which seems like really basic, right? If you're in full tantrum mode or you're so angry at something or you're really, 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 really sad, do you think that's the best time to like follow your inspiration or listen to your inner voice or believe the shit your brain is telling you? Probably not. Just like if you're a woman with a hormonal cycle or who has ever had one, you probably know that during PMS is not the time to follow what you think you want or need or feel because it'll be different the next day when you're back in alignment. And things get a little less crazy for you, then, there's some clarity. Oh, I don't actually have to murder that person. Phew, I didn't want to go to jail, so that's good. So as we bring ourselves back into the place of alignment, when we're feeling really good, when you, if it's for you, it's running, you get into the zone when you run, you get that high, you feel connected, that's when all the good ideas come. Wouldn't that be the time to really listen to the inspiration, right? So then if you're here and you're butting your head up against the wall and nothing's working, and what do you need to do? Go for a run. go for a run, and then ask yourself, now what feels inspired? What feels inspired? And sometimes the things that feels inspired might be like, I'm so surprised by this, but I just really want to sort and organize and clean that drawer in my bathroom. And we push that away because we're like, what the fuck does that have to do with writing this book or finding my lover or whatever it is? But there's a reason for that inspiration. Now, I will say the challenge with doing it this way versus the just being able to ask your higher self, which is much easier, feels very similar oftentimes, is that when we have a bunch of resistance or trauma or limiting beliefs or blocks, the thing that feels inspired might be the thing that veers us away from those. So you might have this list of things to do, and if you had asked your higher self might be, best thing you can do is tick that one off the list that you really don't want to do. It's going to shift everything for you because you're going to feel totally different having that pressure off. So just go change the oil in your car. Just go do the thing that you really don't want to do. Call the publishing company, whatever it is. When we're in the place of searching for inspired action, that may or may not come through clearly to us if we're like shit ass terrified of it, or we've got a big block against it, or we've got some resistance, which is all human normal stuff. Which leads me to number three, ways to get into inspired action. And this one, I would say, this goes for everyone. This is your patented surefire one, okay? This number three here, which is find the blocks and put your action into healing or clearing or soothing or shifting them. Sift through until you find, where's my resistance? Where's the limiting belief? What is it that stands in the way? What am I afraid of in this? What's the worst thing that would happen to me if this actually happened? If I wrote a book and it was a bestseller, what's the worst thing that would happen to me? What am I afraid of? Where is it? Maybe you, and there's 100 million ways to do this. Maybe you're having a conversation with your fear. Maybe you're sitting in healing space. Maybe you are journaling. Maybe you're getting curious. Maybe you're wondering, asking yourself the questions like, what would be the scariest thing if I were to find my lover? What am I afraid of if I find the person of my dreams to be in partnership with? And then where is the healing you can find in that? Because we were talking earlier, right? Over on the other extreme here of the, like, you just sit back and let it happen. And if you took all of your effort, all of your focus, all of your ability to do, and you put it into moving the blocks out of the way, healing that belief that, like, no one in my family ever accomplishes anything, or I'm not good enough, or artists are always broke, or whatever it is, wherever you find your stuff, the resistance, the fear, the things. You put all of the focus and effort that you have into that, you are opening up this wide open space for your desire to flow to you. That's not an actionless thing. There's a lot of action in there, a lot of focus, a lot of determination, a lot of healing. Those are all action things. Maybe it looked a lot like sitting in your garden and meditating, but if you were actually clearing things, you're doing quite a bit of action. The other thing that will happen when you do that is that you're going to be more in alignment, which means you'll be able to sense or hear or feel or catch the inspiration when it's coming from your higher self, and your higher self is like, you should plant some plants over on that side of the garden. Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to plant some plants there. Your higher self's like, yeah, you should go to that nursery you've been thinking about visiting in town. And then you go to the nursery, and maybe you hear that in your head because you know how to meditate, or maybe you just feel it. Oh, I really want plant plants over there. Wow, that would look really nice. Feels really exciting right now. Ooh, the nursery. Ah, idea. And so you go. You go to the nursery. And when you're at the nursery, you meet this person and you and this person hit it off and you start going into the nursery regularly. And this person's like teaching you how to do the things and telling you about this and you're going to need this. And no, you don't need that thing, and on and on and on. And then 6 months later, you're married. Or that person winds up being the person who then introduced you to a publicist who's like, oh man, we're really looking for people who know how to write books. And what we really want is a book on someone who isn't a gardener, but learned how to garden. Like someone's journey in learning how to garden. And you're like, are you kidding me? Who spent the last 6 months of my life teaching myself how to garden with the help of my friend here? And I always thought I had a black thumb. And they're like, yeah, that's so funny. We're really looking for someone to write a book on this. Maybe we'll make it into a TV show. So if I can sum it up for you and make it so simple, I would say, when in doubt, do the healing work. When you want to create or be or do or have or allow or attract, when you want to manifest, put your focus and your effort into getting yourself into alignment and clearing your blocks, whatever those may be. I've been doing this myself, especially recently, as we've got the new manifestation course that opens in two weeks or 10 days or something, middle of January. And so I've created this whole course, and in it are all of the tools for how to clear the various different blocks out of the way. So I've been playing with this myself as I find, oh, here I've got a limiting belief, or this is feeling angsty, or that doesn't seem to be flowing. And then I dig a little bit until I can see, what is it? Oh, there's a belief in here, or I'm carrying some ancestral bullshit, or whatever it is. I've got a fear or something. And then I go, ooh, I get to use my own stuff. And I rush over to the archive of all of the tools, and I grab the one that I know is going to match. And I sit down and I do the belief clearing or whatever it might be. And it's been really fun. So I thank you all for asking for that course to be built, because even though it's not out in the world just yet, I'm already getting to play with it. And I know you're all going to like it too. So that's my one big takeaway. Find the blocks. Lovingly move yourself back into alignment as you clear those blocks. That's the action that will always give you the biggest payoff. It will. There's lots and lots and lots of hamster wheel spinning. We're all doing it, so don't even worry about it. It's great because it does keep us busy, right? Just like the toddler. Ugh, they're playing with the packaging that thing came in. This will keep them busy for a while. We're the toddlers. Great things are happening for you in ways that you can't see. Things are being queued up and lined up and created all the time on your behalf. And if you'd like to feel less overwhelmed in your action, then find that searching for, looking for, creating the inspired action by starting with your healing work. Starting with your healing work. And then you'll get the inspiration. You'll get that hit of, oh, I think I should just pick up the phone. I think I should do this one little thing. I think I should follow this breadcrumb. All right, loves. I would be so happy, as always, to hear your takeaways. I hope some of you will be joining us in the Manifestation Magic program. It's going to be really good. It already is really good. I can tell you, as someone who's already playing with it in the background. And I so look forward to watching you uncover and receive all of these desires that you have within you.
My deepest gratitude for you for listening and being part of this podcast. Thank you for sharing and reviewing and sending us your takeaways. I always love it. I do hope you'll join us for the two upcoming brand new courses we have, Manifestation Magic, where you will learn the art of dancing with the universe and letting life be greater than you ever dreamed. followed by For the Love of Money, where you get to blossom into the next level of money, abundance, financial security, or wealth by healing the layers of what limits you, expanding your capacity, adjusting your upper limit, and evolving your personal relationship with the energy of money. You can register for one, or you can save when you bundle them together. The links to find out more are right in the show notes. By the way, we have set up some free gifts for you. So if you haven't received those yet, head over to caraviana.com and download them now. There's some goodies, including a guided meditation and an energy healing. With my deepest love, salud to all that you are and all that you are becoming.